Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, normally in this segment we do what we're watching. We're going to do that tomorrow, but the segment is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through the month of January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. All right, for 11 seasons, Trey Thomas more than ably held the left tackle spot for the Philadelphia Eagles. Three-time All-Pro, terrific player that helped this team get to four NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. Now runs the Pino's Palette in Cherry Hill. He joins us now. Trey, how are you today?
Oh, fantastic, man. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, Trey. To you.
All right.
I want to start with this, because you were, by nature, playing on a very good team, able to have a few of these meaningless games at the end of the year where I'm assuming you sat at the bench and watched whoever was your backup. How did Andy approach it, and how did you feel about taking that week off? Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, any player, anytime you get a chance to just get a break, you know, you welcome it. And I know Big Red was one of the that, you know, he would rest us in games like this. If it was a game that really didn't matter, he would go ahead and sit us down. But, you know, in a situation where you had, like, Runyon would always play in these games because he had the streak that he was going with all the starts and everything. So this was the game that he would usually play in. But if Big Red came to me and said, hey, Trey, we're going to sit you on this game, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? Let's get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember, Trey, I remember the year that you ultimately did go to the Super Bowl. You guys had everything wrapped up so early that you guys actually, most of the starters, with the exception of John, sat out the last two games, and then you had a bye week before you started to play, and the first game back was a home game against Minnesota. But there was a tremendous amount, and you probably heard a talk around town, man, these guys are going to be rusty. They just haven't played in so long. And you came out and you took care of business against Minnesota. Is that idea of rest versus rust, is that overrated in people's minds?
No, not at all. But I think also at the time, you know, Coach Reed didn't have a problem with putting the pads back on to make sure, like, hey, you know what, let's get a couple padded practices in just so that we can have the intensity that we need in practice to kind of get you ready. Because I think that that's one of the problems that you have when you have to rest guys, is that intensity kind of comes off a little bit, and you can't practice with the tempo that you really need to get you primed for a game.
Trey Thomas is our guest here on 94 WIP, and the teams that Trey played for had very solid offensive lines. Trey and John Runyon as the anchors, and they were generally very strong from left to right. I want to go over the guys on this line and just get a professional's, you know, 30-second to 45-second assessment of what we're seeing here. And let's start with the guy who's playing left tackle, Jordan Mailata. What do you see out of him, Trey?
I think he's been playing really well. You know, he has all the tools to be a dominant tackle in this game. I mean, with just his size, his temperament, he's starting to play a little bit more nastier in games, which I'm really glad to see. And, you know, he's just a talented individual. You know, he's really taken to this game, and especially the way Coach Stoutland works with him with his run game and everything. I think that he's really come on strong there. His protection has gotten better as well. He's starting to use his hands a little bit more and not bodying up against defensive ends, because that's when he usually has problems, is when he lets a guy get into his body, and then now he's like, you know, it becomes a wrestling match instead of playing and using your length to kind of keep them at bay.
All right. How about Landon Dickerson?
I think that he's a really good young talent. You know, I think he has the temperament as well. You know, he's a guard, you know, someone that's going to be forceful. You know, he's gotten better with his game as well. And then he plays center, you know, so he understands protection. He understands the calls. And he's a good person because when you're at tackle, you're dependent on the call of the guard, you know. So you're always listening to it comes from the center. Then now it gets to the guard. You get your communication. Everything breaks down from there. So I think he's a good addition to kind of help and work with Jordan out there.
All right, let's talk about the legend, Jason Kelce.
I think he's just playing lights out. This is one of his better seasons, I think. You know, Kelce, in all rights, could, man, he could nail it in if he wanted to and just be like, you know what, I couldn't make that block or, you know, I couldn't get there. He's going out there and giving you every ounce, every play, every snap. And, I mean, he's a true leader out there, you know, and he's not afraid to show his feelings. You know, a lot of times with players, you try to kind of hide certain things or whatever, but he's okay with stepping out there and being the face of the team and showing his emotional side to the game, and I think guys have really taken to that, and they'll follow him to wherever.
All right, two more. Nate Herbig, who's been, because of injuries, has been the right guard.
He's been coming along, you know. Sorry. There are times that, you know, I think that Nate kind of gets in bad positions out there, but I think that he's been doing okay out there. You know, he's been solid. You know, what you need coming in, if you have some injuries out there, I think he stepped in, and he's been solid out there. As long as you can keep running the ball and don't get in situations where you're in third and 15 and third and, you know, you stay ahead of the downs, I think Nate has been extremely serviceable.
And then finally, Lane Johnson.
I think Lane has been playing, like again, just like Kelce has been, lights out. You know, I think Lane has definitely come on. His technique has been a lot better. He's been shooting his hands. He's getting off the ball really well. So I think Lane has been having an exceptional year.
You know, when you – and I know you follow this team and you watch them every week. What was your thinking this year when you saw – Nick Sirianni make the shift that he made, you know, 5-6 games into the season when he said, you know what, the strength of our team is our offensive line. We're just going to run the ball. We're just going to win the line of scrimmage and win the game there. And they're having weeks after weeks, Trey, they're, you know, they're running the ball 40 times a game. I mean, when you look back on your days with Andy, the way Andy's was calling plays, there are probably some times that you wish you could have run it 40 times, maybe like even once in a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never ran it, you know. I prefer run pass blocking myself as a left tackle. I prefer pass protection. But this team right now is all built around running the ball, you know, and they do it extremely well. And that's right up Coach Stout's alley, though, man, with running the ball, with the mate blocking and all of that, and all his combination blocks. That's right up Coach Stout's alley, you know. And then when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, when you can run those zone runs, because, I mean – you know, they're not doing anything that's magical or anything. I mean, it's all inside zone runs. And when you have an offense the way they have, and, you know, you can force a defense to come out there and play nickel when they're going to give you four down linemen, only two linebackers, the rest of these secondary players. I mean, that plays into your wheelhouse. When you have those threats out there at the receiver, it forces you to go out there and you play nickel, you play dime, and then now you have the box the way you want it as an offensive line. So now it's all about combination blocks. And when you're running inside zone, outside zone, you're going to get two combination blocks. And then now that defensive end that's not blocked, well, now the quarterback can hold him with the option of being able to pull it. If he sees that defensive end comes crashing, then now he can pull that ball out of the quarterback, out of the running back's stomach, and then he can take off running outside. So this offense right now, and the way Jalen Hurts is playing, is just built around being able to run the ball and be successful.
You know, you were talking about Dickerson, and I agree with you. He has really come on. It took him, you know, he didn't even really have a training camp, and he kind of got, because of injury, he kind of got thrust right into the lineup there in week two, and he just got better by the week. You know, and he played center at Alabama, and when they drafted him, the idea was, well, they're drafting him to be Jason Kelce's successor, but I got to tell you, Trey, just watching the way he plays at left guard, I think he's found a home. I don't think I would move him. I think he's a guard, and I would leave him at guard because he just seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, I think he does a really good job there. You know, and it only helps because I don't think Kelce is going to leave after this season. So, you know, you got at least another year with Kelce there at center, and then you just take it from there. I think that the young man has been playing extremely well, and he has a good temperament for guard, and that's what you want. You need somebody that can create movement off the line, and then that's what he does. And then you got Jordan Mailata that can get right in his hip. You get a good combination block. He can work up to the second level, and then now we're off and running.
I love this line talk. So Trey, the team was 3-6, and they have won six of their last seven games, but they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. They benefited from the schedule of the back half. How good are they? When you look at this team, what's your overall assessment?
I think the team is solid. I mean, they've been playing really well as of late. You know, my only question is right now, when you do give them this time off, if you're going to rest them, they've had some very slow starts over these past couple weeks. And if you rest them, you know, can you keep coming back towards the end? Can you keep waiting for that second quarter or that second half burst of energy that this team has been riding on? You know, but I think when you look at this team just overall, I think they are a talented group. You have some really good receivers out there. I think Jalen Hurts is a true leader out there on that field. And, you know, the defense is coming along.
You know, you touched on what I was going to ask you was the idea of the slow starts. Now it's been 5 weeks now, so it's not just like one game or two games. I mean, this is like five games now, and they've been able to come back and win, and they've got the winning streak going, and that's all fine. But you know, you get to the playoffs, and you know this: you get to the playoffs, you're going to be playing against really good competition, and you can't put yourself in that position where you're coming from home every week. And when you watch them play now, and you see week after week, the other team scores first, they're three and out. Is it anything you could put your finger on? Is it philosophy? Is it play calling? Is it just a matter of poor execution? You know, when you watch them, what do you think is the reason that they're starting so slow?
It's just that intensity. You know, it's just like it takes them a while to get going, to get the juices going, you know, and that's just where the team is right now. And I don't know if it's because of the way you're practicing, or, you know, is it a leadership situation that's out there on the field? Like, what is it that gets you like where you just don't come out on fire? And what you see is that you just don't see at the beginning of the games that same burst of energy. Like, when you go back to, like, 2017 when they won the Super Bowl, like, that energy every game was there from the beginning of the game. You don't see the same type of jolt when that game starts with this group. And I think that you know, they just have to continue to – they're going to have to find that to get them going. And I don't know if it's something that you work in practice. Is it practice that's going to help you? Or is it a leadership thing that makes you where you like, all right, you know what, we have to come out on fire. We cannot wait. Because, you know, teams right now that when you get into the playoffs, you might not be able to come back.
All right, Trey Thomas, I want to do artwork and I want to drink wine. Where should I go?
You should definitely come to Pino's Palette, man, over in Cherry Hill. We paint, man. We paint a lot. You know, I was sitting up here working on the painting last night, man, just hanging out. Popped open
great.
A bottle of T.O.'s wine and just sat back and did a painting.
You're living the life.
Yeah, man, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Okay. It's relaxing and it helps me clear my mind, gets my mind off other things. So, yeah, man, come check us out.
I love it. Trey Thomas, thanks a ton. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Trey.
Be well.
I enjoyed working with him. He did.
He's good. Yeah, he was good when he was on the radio.
He was good on the radio. He did post game. He did pre and post game with us for 2 years, and I really liked working with him. He was, he showed up every week with a whole bunch of a stack of 3x5 index cards that he had been taking notes all week, watching film, and he came in with all these. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. He had, he didn't just come in with his hands in his pockets, you know, just, okay, when do we start? I mean, he had obviously prepared for those shows, and he was really, really good at it. It convinced me that if he really wanted to make a go of it in television, like NFL Network or something, he could do that.
He was a very sharp guy.
Very sharp.
And I love I just love line talk these days because the line is so good. I just love it. And one quick thing, I want to grab a call or two here, but whenever the Eagles are good, it seems to me, and you're the guy who wrote the Eagles Encyclopedia, you are the historian, that they have really good tackles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Mylotta and Lane Johnson. In his day, we had Trey Thomas and John Runyon. Back in the Vermeil era, you had Sizemore and Stan Walters. I mean, it's the foundation. It's a huge part of the foundation of being good on offense.
Yes. Yes, it's true. And, you know, and back if nobody else remembers other than me, but back when they won the back-to-back world championships, they had two of the best tackles in football then.
All right, give me the names.
Al Wistert. who I think should be, he was the team captain, and I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Retired number. I thought he was
retired
in the
number,
okay.
But not in the pro. He's in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not
in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
and the other tackle was a guy named Vic Sears, and they were the two best tackles in football. So you're right. I mean, you go through the history of this franchise. Whenever they were really good at the tackle positions.
Let's get Dennis up here. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
I'm
not in favor of them playing the starters tonight, but I'm definitely in favor of them trying to win the game with the backups.
Oh, those guys will be busting it. There's no question. They're not laying down.
But they're, yeah, it's, I have money
but
on
yeah, it. I'm with you. I would not play the starters.
But what I really called for is I have a very funny, what I least think is a very funny Jerry Jones story. And when I heard Ray earlier say that he's known him for a long time, I would love to get validation that somebody's ever heard this. But this is early 80s. They were in a playoff game on a Sunday night. I had a few couples over to my house. And you know how Jerry used to head down when they were winning and he would celebrate in the sidelines? That used to annoy the heck out of me. Well, he had left the booth. He was on his way down, and they lost the game last minute. And he disappeared off the sidelines. So my party's kind of over, and some of my friends were still there. And Don asked me whatever made me do this, but I said, you know what, I'm going to call. So I called for information, and I said, I'd like the number for the Dallas Cowboys organization. I got it. And when I made the phone call, it asked you to put the first three digits of the person's last name. So I put in J-O-N, and I got into Jerry Jones' voicemail. And I ranted and left a message probably 3 minutes long, you know, probably called him a few names. And I'm saying, hey, what happened to you? Usually on the sidelines jumping up and down. You weren't there, you know. And I just went on. And on Tuesday of that same week, you could no longer call that telephone number and get into his voicemail. So half of my friends believed me. The ones that were at the party believed me. But half of the friends I tell that story to, oh, yeah, you never got through. But, hey, we're talking early 80s when, you know, the voicemail.
Oh, I think it's very clever of you.
Yeah,
I admire it.
Ray said he's known him for a long time. I just was curious if Jerry ever mentioned some idiot calling and leaving a message on his voicemail.
No, it never came up. I have interviewed Jerry many times over the years. When I was at NFL Films, kind of coming at it from a neutral position. I wasn't coming at it as a Philadelphia fan. And I always found him to be, he's a really good storyteller. He's a very gracious guy.
He's gregarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that a snake can be gregarious.
I've never encountered a gregarious snake.
Well, you got to get around. 215-592-9494. Ray, coming up a real treat. We always do Scheib Sports Week in Philadelphia. Scheib Sports Week in Philadelphia Sports History. Normally, we do one highlight.
Mm-hmm.
I got three great moments for you.
Classics. And they're good.
Oh, they're good. Coming up next with Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
And if you are a serious Philadelphia sports fan, you need to check out my friends at Scheib Vintage Sports. They're your home for throwback Eagles apparel. Locally owned, Scheib carries name brands as well as original designs by Philadelphia artists. So if you're thinking about the 60 championship, you're thinking about the game against the Packers at Franklin Field, Tommy McDonald, Norm Van Brocklin, the Bounty Bowl, Kelly Green, all that wonderful stuff. The next time you need some new gear before an Eagles game or you're looking for that perfect gift, you can head over to Scheib Vintage Sports. Visit them at their showroom at 13th and Walnut in Center City or at scheibsports.com. And remember, you tell them that Ray sent you and you will get 15% off.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, it's Dallas week, Ray, but rarely is a Dallas week not felt like a Dallas week.
No, doesn't.
Well, the Super Bowl, you brought it up, the Super Bowl season, where it was the Eagles-Dallas last week of the season. The Eagles were 13-2, right? I forget, but they clinched it. Or they'd clinched their spot, and yeah. We got to see the third-string quarterback against whomever, and the Eagles lost 6-0. And hopefully today at least will be a little more entertaining, but... Speaking of entertaining, Ray, it is time for This Week in Philly Sports History, brought to you by Scheib Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Check out their Kelly Green Eagles gear at their Center City location or at scheibsports.com. Normally, I give you one. Today, I'm giving you three.
Oh, boy.
Because there's so many great things happened this week in the past. And the first one, Ray, we're going back to 1976. You were at the Spectrum. Actually, the first two were at the Spectrum, and you were at both.
I was.
It's the Flyers against the Red Army team. Going to play you a little highlight that involves, oh, remember Ed Van Imp?
I do.
All right, here you go.
Come on, it's still dizzy after that check. Out it comes to the line, and this is Mikhailov going down. The penalty is over. Flyers at close range. Mikhailov, oh, again! Karlamov is really belted by Van Imp, and he's not straight on the ice. Van Imp from the penalty box ran into Karlamov. The Soviets are all standing up. They want a penalty, but I'll tell you, Dick, that was a solid check, and I didn't see too much wrong with it.
All right. First of all, it sounds like Thomas Edison recorded that. I mean, doesn't that sound like it's from 1920?
It really
even
does.
Is that Dickie Irvin, the Montreal announcer?
Was it him or was it Foster Hewitt? It was probably one or the other.
Yeah. It really sounds so old style. Okay. For people who don't remember it, which is most of our audience, the Soviets had come to the United States and were playing a series of games against NHL teams. And generally winning and dominating. And then they came to play the Broad Street Bullies. And what happens on that play? Well, you take it from that hit, and then what happens after that?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, there were two Soviet teams that came over at that time, and they began touring. One was the Red Army team, which was their A team. And then they sent another team over called the Soviet Wings, which was their B team. And they both began playing NHL teams. And the Red Army team, their number one team, was just terrific. I mean, it was just untouchable. They went to Madison Square Garden, and they dominated the Rangers. They went to the Boston Garden, and they beat the Bruins handily. They went up on New Year's Eve to the Montreal Forum and played a great Montreal team in a great game that wound up in a 3-3 tie. But they were undefeated, and they had one game left. They were coming to Philadelphia to play the Flyers, who were then the defending Stanley Cup champions, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. And that was going to be the big game. I mean, the Soviets had won every game that they had played so far, and now they were going to play the champs. And that was the game that everybody was waiting to see. And it was a clash of two styles. Everybody knows how the Soviets play. Fast, great passing. And the Flyers were a team that certainly had a lot of skill, but they were also a team that played a very physical brand of hockey. And so you had the boxer and the slugger. I mean, it was the classic match. And the funny thing, that what was really funny about it was that the Flyers were not very popular in the NHL hierarchy. The people at the league office in Montreal, the people up in Toronto, you know, all the old guard of the NHL really looked down on the Flyers and really resented the fact that they had won two Stanley Cups with this kind of brawling, tough guy style of play. They thought they were besmirching the game. But for this one game, they were all Flyer fans. They all had the orange and black pom-poms out because the Flyers were the NHL's last chance to salvage their pride before the Soviets flew back to Moscow. And so everybody, from Clarence Campbell on down, were all Flyer fans for at least that one day. And it was a Sunday afternoon at the Spectrum. And when I tell you that building was electric, it was beyond electric. It was the atmosphere in the building that day was greater than any of the Stanley Cup games. It really was, because you didn't quite know what to expect, because everyone thought the Soviets were utterly unbeatable. And then they come into that game, and the Flyers dominated right from the jump, but they were using their physical style. They were banging the Soviets up against the boards and everything. But the play that everybody remembers is the one that we just heard, which was Valery Kharlamov, who was the best of the Soviet players coming down the ice, and Eddie Van Impe, who was as rough and tumble as any defenseman in the National Hockey League, took Kharlamov down. Didn't ram him into the boards, just hit him with what I still think was a good solid body check. And Kharlamov went down and just stayed down. And the Soviet bench all exploded, and they got all angry. And the coach, Viktor Tikhonov, took his team off the bench and took him up the tunnel and said, "That's it, we're not playing anymore." And what happened was the Soviet team were all in the dressing room, and they were fully prepared to just leave. And Ed Snyder... And bless his heart, the Flyers owner went down to their dressing room and said, "All right, you guys want to leave, fine, but you're not getting paid." You know, they were due, I think, a $250,000 payout for that game. And Ed Snyder said, "Okay, you know, you want the money, you're going to finish the game." And Viktor Tikhonov said, "All right, boys, back to the bench."
Yeah, and the Flyers win the game.
The Flyers win the game handily. And the shots, I mean, they outshot them like 4-1.
Yeah. All right, I got to speed it up just a little bit. Let's get to the second one. This is the Spectrum again. Man, two great moments at the Spectrum. 1983, Ray, Dr. J in what a lot of people think is the greatest dunk of all time.
The defensive, Cooper brings it over to James Worthy. Worthy against Malone. Pass is deflected. Going to be stolen, I think, by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk. And yet another Laker turnover. Worthy threw it away, and the doctor made a sensational play.
Not only the slam, which he just cuffed in his hand and swung that baby way around. There was no chance for Cooper to get to that ball. He protected it beautifully. Cooper knew what was coming. He just ducked as he went under the basket. The boy, I'll tell you, Julius made a super play coming up with that ball.
The name, I don't know who the announcers are, by the way. I can't identify who those announcers are. But two giant steps. He steals the ball, does the doc. Two giant steps, cradles the ball, and as they say, rocks the baby, which is a great name for the play. It's
right.
The rock the baby dunk.
Right. That's how people remember it.
And the crowd went crazy, and you were there, huh? The January game against the Lakers, huh?
Yeah, well, it was big. You know, the Lakers didn't, you know, the Sixers were one of the top teams in the league, and the Lakers, of course, were. It was the Showtime Lakers. So that was a big, big game. And they didn't play that much during the regular season, East and West. So that when they came in, it was a big deal. And it was a big game. And, again, a packed crowd and just a lot of excitement. And they describe it really well. I mean, Worthy throws this pass. He's trying to throw a pass cross court to Michael Cooper. And Doc, and this is one of the things Doc was really good at, was he could really anticipate that stuff. And he got a lot of steals like this. And so he broke on the ball, took it, and then headed down the court. And Michael Cooper is in position. Michael Cooper, who can really jump, who is one of the great jumpers in the league, is running, and he's got the angle, and he can cut Doc off. But when he saw Doc take off with the ball, yeah, Michael got up in the air, but when he got up in the air and he saw Doc heading for the basket, he ducked. and Doc slammed it, and you're right. I mean, it was –
the crowd went
– Yeah, the roof almost came off the building, and that was a play that anybody that was there will always remember.
Yeah. People who – aren't old enough to have seen Doc play. Iverson is the most exciting Sixer of the last 25 years. Embiid is certainly right up there as an exciting player. But Doc, man, Doc was special.
He was, and I think that I've seen that play described, and I, I think it's an accurate description. It is probably, in my view, the best in-game dunk in NBA history.
Yeah, right.
We've seen the dunk competitions. We've seen the jumping over chairs and stuff. But an in-game dunk, I think that's the best.
Yeah, and just look it up on YouTube. Just look up Rock the Baby, and you'll find it as I found it. All right, finally, 2 days ago, Thursday, was the anniversary, Ray, of the Eagles 2019 wild card playoff game against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Eagles went in as an underdog. Comes down to the very end. Eagles clinging to the slightest of leads. The Bears have not a difficult field goal. I forget how many yards it was, but certainly very, very makeable. Former Eagle Cody Parkey lines it up.
Amazing game. It really is. You have to give Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky credit for what they've been able to do in the most clutch of all situations. And here it comes down one more time to a kicker after all the battle that's been waged out here tonight.
As it so often does. 43-yard attempt from the right hash mark. And, oh, he hits the upright again. That's impossible.
Ray, it's the double doink. It's another play that has a name. The way the Rock the Baby has a name, the double doink.
Mm-hmm.
I love the double doink. And that was a very good call, right, by those guys, by Al Michaels, and a good setup there by Collinsworth.
Yes.
And I had Merrill's call, which is excellent as well. But my favorite call of that play, it's our pal Ricky Ricardo. Here you go.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, señor. No, señor. Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia.
By the way, I believe it was 9 no señores if you're counting at home. 23, so it was 43 yards. I got that. And they're going on to New Orleans. God, what a great call by Ricky. And what an amazing moment, because you remember that year they went in the postseason underdog. I mean, they're always underdogs in the postseason. They will be this year. But they win that game in Chicago thanks to Nick Foles, but also thanks to Cody Parkey.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Bears were actually pretty heavy favorites. That was Mike Nagy's first year there, I think they won 13 games. I mean, they had a big year that year, and they were pretty big favorites playing at home. And the Eagles played them right down to the wire. But of course, they're lining up for that field goal, and you think 43 is certainly makeable in this spot. But hits the upright, then hits the crossbar. And falls to the ground, and the Eagles move on.
Double doink.
Yep, double doink.
I love that. Let's get Mike and Exton. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, Mike. Pleasure.
Hey, so I just had two quick Eagles points and then a show, because I know you guys are big with the shows. But my first Eagles point is I wanted to ask Ray what he thinks that the offensive line is going to look like tonight, because you can't put, a shell of an offensive line out there with Minshew and potentially set him up to get just crushed out there. But you also don't want to put your Lane Johnsons and Jason Kelsey's out there for the full game. So I wanted to ask Ray what he thinks the offensive line is going to look like for tonight.
Good question. I think you'll probably see Dillard. Dillard will play. Opeta will probably play. They'll probably move Herbig into center. And Brent Toth will probably play. All of those guys. Malotta will probably play some. But the rest of the guys, I don't know that you're going to play Lane Johnson. You're certainly not. I guess Kelsey may play a series just to keep the consecutive game streak going. But other than that, you're not. I really wouldn't play Dickerson. I mean, with his injury history. I mean, he's gotten this far. He's been healthy. That's great. I don't think I would risk him. But the other guys, you're just going to go with your backups.
Yeah, I was thinking around the same thing, and I was hoping actually we could get a view of Dillard tonight, because, he's a first-round talent and potentially maybe a trade chip in the offseason. So And then just to go to my other quick Eagles point, I really think that we are poised to play well in the postseason. I know from a national perspective, people are saying that they don't want anything to do with the Eagles because we've heard for years that the run game and defense is what wins in the postseason, and that's what we do really well right now. I know there's a lot of talk about Gannon, but you know, I think nobody really wants anything to do with us right now. Just looking at all the teams, and Ray, you said it on Angelo the other day. The teams in the playoffs are pretty evenly matched, you know, and I don't think anyone wants anything to do with us.
No, the Eagles pose a challenge because there aren't a lot of teams that play the way this team plays right now, especially if you have Jalen Hurts as healthy. I mean, he's a running threat at the quarterback position. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's equally efficient but in a different way. And the fact that this team can run the ball the way they run the ball and they can control the line of scrimmage the way they do, they're a challenge. They really are. Now, if you're looking at the opponents out there, it looks like most of the scenarios seem to point towards them playing Tampa. And I know Tampa's got a lot of injuries right now. Now, they're probably going to – Bruce Arians has indicated he thinks he's going to get some of those guys back. But the one thing you have to be concerned about if you're an Eagles fan is the Buccaneers play really good run defense. They're the number three run defense in football. So this will be one of the better run defenses this team's going to go against. And let's face it, this season has been about their ability to run the ball. But if they draw Tampa Bay in that first game, everybody's talking Tom Brady, which I fully understand. But on the other side of the ball, it's an equally great challenge because if you're going to go in with your running game, you're going up against a very stout run defense.
215-592-9494. Sean, hang in. You are next. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. We're going up until 1 o'clock. Eagles, Cowboys tonight at 8:15 kickoff, right? Right here on 94 WIP. Merrill and Mike will be on the call. I'll be hosting pregame before that, right here on 94 WIP. And it is time for me to tell you that we all want somebody to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our car. And that's exactly what you get at all 12 locally owned and operated United Tire and Service locations. Now through January 29th, save $120 on Michelin's best all-season tire, the Cross Climate 2. Take it from me, you can trust you're getting back on the road safe, whether you need new tires or an oil change. United Tire has it all. Visit unitedtire.com to schedule your next service and tell them Glenn sent you. Don't drive alone. Drive United.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right here, Glenn Mack, now 94 WIP. We are here until 1 o'clock, followed by Go Birds Radio, Elliot Shore, James Seltzer. And then, of course, the pregame show tonight starts at 5 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff, and then the usual gang of idiots at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to joining them down at the stadium. We always enjoy this part of the day when we check in with our doctors, our experts from Cooper Bone and Joint. Dr. David Gelt joins us today. Doc, how are you?
Pretty good. Happy New Year, guys.
And same to you, doctor.
Same to you. We're all going to freeze out there tonight, Doc. Any medical advice for those of us who are going to be braving it outdoors?
Just layer up. That's what I got to say.
Okay. Layer up. Okay. I thought you said lighter up for a second. I'm thinking,
no.
This is not the Dr. Gelt I know. All right. So one injury that we want to talk about, and I wish I had more detail on Miles Sanders' right hand. He's got a broken bone in his right hand. What I unfortunately have not been able to find online is exactly what bone he has broken. But they are hoping to get him back, not tonight, but for the playoffs. What advice would you give a player, a team, when it comes to a running back, a guy who's going to carry the ball, who's got a broken bone in his right hand.
Yeah, so definitely, obviously, he's not going to be playing today. And, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be like a preseason game tonight. But hopefully everybody rest up and heal up a little bit for the playoffs. But I assume it's a metacarpal bone, which is one of the bones in his hand. The problem is with a running back, obviously, you have to use your hands to grab and grip the ball and hold on to it. So that's the most difficult thing versus another position. If it's not displaced or is not out of alignment, then it can hopefully heal up. But, you know, the fact that it happened a couple weeks ago, usually about 4 to 6 weeks, you're doing pretty well with it. So hopefully we'll continue to heal and, you know, maybe properly padded or something like that. I'm not sure if it's his dominant hand or not, but
he is
right-handed. Something to be concerning a little bit. Yeah. So
Ray, I imagine, Ray, that everybody on defense is going to just slap at his hand every time he gets the ball, right? Wouldn't that be the strategy?
Yeah, no question. No question. And that's actually the defensive coordinator in Dallas, the new one, Dan Quinn. I saw training camp footage from them, and he coaches that as a defensive coach. He has the defensive players all tomahawking at the ball, trying to knock it loose, and it worked for them this year. They had 33 takeaways. I mean, dramatic improvement. I mean, coaches can coach that kind of stuff, and they're very aggressive in going for the football. So that would put Miles Sanders, if he were to play tonight, but he's not, but that would put him back more at risk. Hey, Doc, I was going to ask you about I meant to ask you a couple times during the year. I was watching Baker Mayfield this year, who just had a miserable season with Cleveland, really. Mm-hmm. And he was hurt early this year and played pretty much the whole year with what they described as a torn labrum. Now, it was on his left side. It wasn't on his throwing shoulder, but it was on his left shoulder. And he kept saying, not a problem. It's my left shoulder. It's not a big problem. But it was clear to me that he wasn't anywhere near healthy this year, and it affected his performance. How from a medical standpoint, a guy trying to – a right-handed thrower trying to play football with a torn labrum on the left side, how much is that impacting his performance?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's much affecting his throwing, but obviously football, it's a violent sport, and when you get tackled and you land right on that shoulder, it can jar it and cause more irritation. When you have a labral tear, it's sort of a stability structure. So a lot of times if you're a thrower or have an issue with your dominant hand, you feel like your arm's going to sort of pop out of the joint, so to speak, or have a popping sensation or a subluxation. So it doesn't feel stable and you get pain there. So I think his issue is more whenever he gets tackled, he lands right on that arm. You know, that can be an issue and, you know, feeling of pain, discomfort, and feeling of instability. And therefore he's trying to, you know, cover it up a little bit. And that may affect his throwing ability from that standpoint.
Yeah, speaking of torn labrum, Doc, he has one in his shoulder. I apparently have a torn labrum on my hip. So about to be treated for all that nonsense. Fun times.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, with the labrum, that once the cartilage gets irritated, then that can sometimes, you know, go down the road of arthritis too. So it depends on how much arthritis, if you have any in there too, that you don't necessarily go and treat the labrum itself, more treat the arthritis.
I believe what you're suggesting is the possibility of a hip replacement, aren't you?
Maybe down the road, but let's be positive.
No. Yeah, I'm just kind of getting all this news these days, and none of it's good. Dr. David Gell, what's your prediction tonight?
Well, sort of up in the air. It depends, you know, who's playing. It's probably going to be hopefully an Eagles win just because we want to beat the Cowboys. But I'd probably say 14-10.
There you go. You know what? I think you're in the neighborhood. Always a pleasure, Dr. Gell. You'll be well.
All right, you too, guys. Have a good
one. All right,
thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much. It is impossible to predict.
Totally. Yeah. You have no idea who's going to be. You have no idea who's going to be playing, not just in the second half. You know nobody's going to be playing in the first quarter.
Right, right. And, yeah, I do have a torn labrum in my hip to add to the herniated disc in my back, Ray. I'm a mess these days.
Yeah, but you gutted it out for anything goes.
I did, and
you,
I think
you gritted your teeth and made it through every performance.
I did, and I think that's how I got the torn labrum, to be honest with you. But whatever, we'll deal with it. Sean Young, our pal, joins us. I know you're going to be at the game tonight.
Good morning, Glenn and Ray. How are you doing today?
We're good, Sean. Right. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Actually, not only will I be at the game, but I am currently sitting in front of the gate in front of the stadium for the game.
Sean, I hate to break it to you. The game begins in like 8.5 hours.
Well, I may have been here at this point, even if it was tomorrow at 1 o'clock still. Who knows? But, I mean, that's just because I'm a little off center.
Yeah, okay. Dressed warm, I hope.
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'll be ready to roll.
Okay.
But I can't wait. I mean, look, I know there's very little implications for this game between either team because we're both in the playoffs. Most starters will probably not play and everything, but I'd like to see a couple of the guys get out there, maybe just to obviously see Jason continue his streak. Maybe Devontae to be able to possibly get the rookie record for receiving yards, mm-hmm. and then get him out of there. Maybe just play a series or so and just see if they can get him. Obviously Jason will play one play and he can get him out, but play a series, get them out of there, see what they can do, and then keep everybody healthy, including this in the second, third, fourth stringers. All I care about is just keeping everybody healthy at this point. It doesn't matter because everybody's going to need to play at some point during the playoffs, somewhere along the line, just for depth reasons. So let's just get in here, have some fun tonight. Everybody stay healthy. Let's celebrate Jason Kelce. As you know, I think he'll be back next year. But you know, if not, if this is the last time we see him as a Philadelphia Eagle in at this stadium, let's celebrate him and give him the applause that he deserves for sure.
I wonder if the coach would have him. I think probably not, but I wonder if the coach would have him leave in the middle of a series so that he gets that applause. I imagine not.
Probably not, but I think either way he's going to get an applause regardless. I mean, you know, they'll put him up on the big screen. I'm sure he'll get it. Jason anywhere. You see his name, you see him. The place is just going to go out of its mind because this guy has absolutely embedded himself into the city of Philadelphia forever and ever and ever. I mean, it's just the way he is, and he's an Eagle Hall of Famer and probably a very good chance that he might be an NFL Hall of Famer. I know a lot of centers don't get in, but I think he's due his the opportunity to be able to get into the NFL Hall of Fame and once his career's done.
Ray, yeah. Has there ever been a more popular offensive lineman in the history of our city?
Thinking about that.
I mean, he's almost the face of the franchise, and he's the center.
Yeah, it's really true.
You don't have that often.
It's really true. I mean, sometimes you can measure that stuff by how many fans wear a jersey, you know? And the only offensive lineman that I can remember in my time, and not in great numbers, but you would occasionally see a Runyon 69.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those around, but that's about it. I think this guy's unique. And I remember him walking to training camp as a sixth round draft pick that nobody thought twice about. And what a career he's had. And you're right, no question, he's an Eagles Hall of Famer. And I really do think he's got a real good shot at Canton. I really do.
And I'm currently wearing a Jason Kelce jersey at this point. It was a game worn jersey from him from years ago. So I am celebrating it that way as well.
Very good.
All right, we're going to see you at the pregame tonight.
Yes, sir. I will be there.
I look forward to it, Sean.
All right, gentlemen. Great day.
Take care, Sean.
See you then. You know what I remember about Kelce? And I'm almost very sure it was him. Early in his career, I mean, before he had really established himself, he was going to a camp, right? But here, not in Lehigh, but after they moved it here.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some fans holding an anti-Andy Reid banner. Because it's when, you know, Andy, toward the end when Andy had kind of, you know, gone downhill, and there were some fans holding a banner, and Mathis, stopped their car and told the fans to ditch it with the banner. You remember that episode?
Yes, I do.
It was Kelce, right?
I remember Evan Mathis being one of them, and I think Kelce very well may have been too.
Yeah, I think
because the two of them were, I mean, whenever you saw one, you saw the other.
Yeah,
I mean, they were like joined at the hip.
Mathis was good.
He was real good.
I forget how they let him leave, but I felt like when he left, like they should have held on to him.
It was a chip thing. It was like the voluntary but not really voluntary spring camp. And he chose to not come, and Chip said, don't bother. And that was it.
Yeah, he was a good player.
He was a real good player. Yeah. Real good player.
215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to check in with Tim Kalashaw. He's a terrific columnist for the Dallas Morning News. You know what I learned today, Ray?
What's that?
Our producer, Dan Wilson.
Yes.
Right? Is a groupie of that show that they do at ESPN at 5 o'clock.
Around the Horn.
Around the Horn, yeah. I don't particularly like that show, but I do very much think Tim Kalashaw is very good. So I fear that when Dan, our producer, talks to him, he's going to be a little gushy.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I'm sure Tim will appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess everybody does, right?
Yeah. Tim's a really good guy. I knew him when he was a football writer first, and then became a columnist, and then a TV star. But he's a good fellow.
He's a pro's pro. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
Now, if you're a serious Philadelphia sports fan, you need to check out my friends at Shive Vintage Sports. They're your home for throwback Eagles apparel. Locally owned, Scheib carries name brands as well as original designs by Philadelphia artists. So you just think about the Eagles' history. You think about the 1960 championship. You think about Franklin Field. You think a little later on. You think the Bounty Bowl. You just think of that beautiful Kelly Green. If you're that kind of an Eagles fan, the next time you need some new gear before the Eagles game or you're looking for that perfect gift, head over to Scheib Vintage Sports. Visit them at their showroom at 13th and Walnut in Center City or go to scheibsports.com. And remember, you tell them that Ray sent you and you will get 15% off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.